All right. God bless you guys. Thank you. Let's take our Bibles, if you don't have an open, and go to Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 1. And of course, we're there in Daniel chapter 1, and this is a very famous portion of Scripture, especially with dealing with young people. And I'd like you to look down there at Daniel chapter number 1, and we'll just begin reading right there in verse number 1. The Bible says this: in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And that word besiege is a military term that means to surround. And what the Bible is telling us here is that this man, Nebuchadnezzar, if you study world history, you'll know that Nebuchadnezzar was a very powerful king. And he comes from Babylon to Jerusalem. He surrounds the city and he besieges it. Verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king, verse 3, Nebuchadnezzar, spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain, I want you to notice this here in verse 3, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. And what we're reading about here is the captivity of the children of Israel, or specifically the Hebrew children that are going to be carried into Babylon. And the Bible says that this invading army from Babylon comes to Jerusalem, besieged the city. They took the city. The Bible says that the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. And then King Nebuchadnezzar then instructs Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuch, that he should bring certain. The word certain there is referring to some but not all. I want you to notice there in verse 3, certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Now, he said, I want you to bring some of the children. And the reason that this is such a famous passage in regards to young people and preaching for young people is because here we see these children, these young people, were taken out of their home. They were taken captive out of Jerusalem, away from their parents, away from their family. They were taken over to Babylon. Notice there, verse 4. Now it says, in verse 3, it says certain. And then in verse 4, we're told how they chose. Notice there, verse 4. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldean. So notice that when they decided to take these kids, they took the best. They took the cream of the crop. The Bible says they took children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored. What does that mean? It means that they took the best-looking children. They actually looked at the kids and decided who are the good-looking kids, who are the not-so-good-looking kids, and they chose the best of the kids. One thing that, you know, can comfort some of you is that they wouldn't have taken you, and that's okay, all right? There's a benefit to being ugly sometimes. But they took here children that had no blemish, well-favored, not just that, also skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability to stand in the king's palace. So they picked the best-looking kids, they picked the smartest kids, they picked the kids that were most talented, and they brought them to Chaldea. Look at verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So for 3 years, they were being prepared, and they were being made ready to meet Nebuchadnezzar. You got to keep in mind, Nebuchadnezzar at this time is the most powerful man on earth. This is like the president of the United States. This is the most powerful king on earth. And I want you to notice here in verse 6, we find these characters. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And of course, Pastor Thompson brought up these characters last night in his sermon. But we have these four Hebrew children, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, verse 7, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. Notice they changed their names, and he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah, for the three Hebrew children, these are their more common names that they're known by, of Hananiah of Shadrach, of Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. And then notice there, we're going to skip down to verse number 18 just here for a minute. We're going to come back and look at this passage, all of it completely, but look, skip down to verse number 18. And if I can get one of the ushers, somebody, if you can get me one of those little towels, I would appreciate the help with that. Verse number 18, notice how the story ends. So we see their capture in verses 1 through 4, and we see their custody in verses 5 through 7. And then in verse 18, we see the consequence of the story. And we're going to come back and get to this consequence, but I want you to notice how it ends. Verse 18. Now at the end of the days, this is referring to the 3 years, that the king had said he should bring them in, then the princes of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Look at verse 19. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found, notice these words, was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them. I want you to notice these words. In fact, if you're a young person, and if you've got a pen, if you're willing to maybe put a mark in your Bible, I think every young person should underline this little phrase, he found them 10 times better. He found them 10 times better. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. 10 times better. What's interesting to me about the story is that these kids were already the cream of the crop. All of them. All the kids that went to Babylon were already good-looking kids, smart kids, had good people skills. They were chosen for that reason. But then of the cream of the crop, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar found these Hebrew children, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, he found them 10 times better. 10 times better. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject of 10 times better. What does that mean? When the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar met these, he's meeting all sorts of young people. He's having some sort of event where these kids have been captured. They're the cream of the crop, like we've already seen. They're the most intelligent. They've got the best people skills. They're the best looking kids. They've been brought. Now, on top of that, for 3 years, they've been trained. They've been prepared. They've been given all sorts of teachings and understanding. Now they have this event where Nebuchadnezzar goes through and meets all of them. And for some reason, he identifies Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he says, these four right here, these are 10 times better than anyone else. What does he mean by that? When he looked at them and he said they were 10 times better, here's what he meant by that. He says, they're not average. They're not mediocre. They're not ordinary. They're not common. He says, they're not like everyone else. They're different than all these other kids. He says, these young people, he says, when he said that they were 10 times better, what he meant by that is that they were superior, that they were exceptional, that they were remarkable, that they were outstanding. And it is my belief that this should be the testimony of every child of God. Every child of God, not just teenagers, all Christian people, but especially since we're talking here in the text about young people, and we're here at a youth rally, I would say this, that every teenager ought to have the goal of having the testimony of being found 10 times better. And I want to challenge you young people tonight to be 10 times better. I want you to be 10 times better than all the other kids out there. I don't want you to be. I want you to decide, I don't want to be average. I don't want to be mediocre. I don't want to be ordinary. I don't want to be common. I want to be superior. I want to be exceptional. I want to be remarkable. I want to be outstanding. These young people were found 10 times better. And I think it's possible for every young person here to have the testimony that you are 10 times better. Now, here's what I know about you, and I don't need to know you to know this. I know that there's somebody in your life who thinks, who sees potential in you, and who has a desire that you be 10 times better. Because your mom and dad wouldn't have came all the way out here. Your parents wouldn't have dragged you all the way out here. They wouldn't have signed you up for this youth rally, or they wouldn't have allowed you to sign up for this youth rally and brought you here and taken time off of work and put in all the energy and put in all the money and put in all the sacrifice to bring you here to sit in a hot room in Sacramento, California. They wouldn't have done that if they didn't have a desire for you to be 10 times better. They want you to be 10 times better. And I'd like to give you tonight quickly several thoughts regarding this idea of being 10 times better. I'd like to look at this passage and see where these children were 10 times better. Now, let me just say this. I'm going to say something to you young people that if you've ever heard me preach, you probably haven't heard me say before, and you may never hear it again. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to be in Daniel chapter number 1. We're going to look, we'll get our main points tonight from Daniel chapter 1, and then I'm going to read a lot of passages to you. Now, I'm not going to have you turn to all those passages because it's hot. It's hot and it's late, and we're going to try to move through this sermon as quickly as possible. You stay in Daniel, and I'll read to you these passages. Don't you worry, I'll be reading out of the King James Bible. You can trust that. I'll read these passages for you. If you want to jot them down, you can jot them down. But I'm not going to ask you to turn and be flipping these passages. In fact, what I'd like is for you to just put your eyes up here for just a few minutes. I know there's not much to look up at here, but just look up here for just a few minutes. And I want you to consider this idea of being 10 times better. How were these young people 10 times better? Well, number one, I want you to notice that they were 10 times better in their purpose. 10 times better in their purpose. Their purpose made them 10 times better. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8, we have this very famous verse. I want you to see it. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Now keep in mind that Daniel has now been taken away from his family. Daniel has now been taken away from his parents. Daniel has now been taken away from his spiritual leadership, from his spiritual authority. Everyone that he knows and everyone in his life, an aunt or an uncle, a grandparent or anybody that might have invested in him and been a good influence on him, he's now away from all those individuals. And the Bible says he comes to this place, Babylon, and we already said that the king had made provision for them. He had already given them certain things to eat. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I want you to notice here that Daniel, the Bible says, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Now, I do want you to understand just the context here. Of course, we're in the Old Testament. The children of Israel are under the old covenant, and there are some dietary restrictions that have been given unto them. And Nebuchadnezzar isn't following those dietary restrictions. And this was a religious stand for Daniel. But I want you to notice that here we have a young man who, away from mom, away from dad, away from his pastor, away from his pastor's wife, away from everyone and anyone that he would know, he just decided on his own. The Bible says he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of a king's meat. And here's what I want you to understand about Daniel. Daniel decided that he was better than that. When they offered them the portion of the king's meat, they offered him the wine to drink, they offered him these things that would be wrong for him under the Old Testament covenant to take. He said, you know, I'm better than that. I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to eat what everyone else is eating. I don't want to consume what everyone else is consuming. I don't want to be average. I don't want to be common. I don't want to be mediocre. I don't want to be ordinary. He decided, I'm better than that. And here's what you need to understand. When you as a young person decide, I'm better than that, you'll be found 10 times better. 10 times better in your life when you make a decision to be better than that. You say, Pastor Jimenez, what are you talking about? I'm talking about 10 times better in your separation. 10 times better in your separation. You keep your place there in Daniel chapter 1. Let me read to you these verses. Many of these passages have been read already in the last couple of days. But let me read this to you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. God commands that we be not conformed to this world. What does that mean? To not be conformed. He said, I don't want you to pattern yourself after the world. I don't want you to try to be like the world. Literally, what's being said here when the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, Paul is telling the church at Rome, he said, don't be average. Don't be mediocre. Don't be ordinary. Don't be common. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That idea of being transformed, that's the same idea of being 10 times better, superior, exceptional, remarkable, outstanding. Hey, you young people, I want to challenge you tonight that you ought to decide, I'm going to be 10 times better in my separation. I'm not going to try to live this life where, and look, I get it. First of all, let me just say this. You young people, know this. Pastor Jimenez and everyone in this room is for you. We love you. We wouldn't be doing this if we didn't care about you. We want you to succeed. We want to see you succeed. We see the potential that God has for you in your life. But what we want is for you to see the potential and for you to decide, I'm better than that. And oftentimes, Christian young people, their greatest goal in life is to be like everyone else in the world. To try to dress like everyone else in the world. To try to look like everyone else in the world. To try to be like everyone else in the world. Why would you make it your goal in life to be common? To be average? To be ordinary? To be just like everyone else. Why not say, hey, I'm better than that. I want to be 10 times better. Why not be superior? I'm saying you ought to be 10 times better in your separation. Let's get specific. I'm saying you ought to be 10 times better with regards to drugs and alcohol. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 31? The Bible says in Proverbs 31 in verse number 4, this is a mother writing to her son, and here's what she said. She said, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Now this is a mother who's literally talking to her son, who is a prince and a future king. And she's telling her son, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink. You know what she's saying when she says, it's not for kings to drink wine, it's not for princes to drink strong drink. She's saying, you're better than that. She's saying, you're a king, you're a prince, you're better than that. Now, you might hear me say that and say, well, that was a king and that was a prince. That's not me. Let me tell you something. If you are saved tonight, you are a child of God. The Bible says that we are kings and priests unto God and His Father. And I'm here to tell you, hey, you're better than that. And you young people ought to make a decision tonight and just decide, I'm better than that. I don't want to go down that road. You say, but everyone else is drinking. Everyone else is experimenting with drugs. Everybody else is doing it as well. Why do you want to be average? Why be mediocre? Why be ordinary? Why be common? Why not decide, I want to be 10 times better? You ought to make a decision and say, you know what, I'm better than that. In fact, I'd like to just hear you say that. I'm going to give you some points. I'd like to hear the wrangler say, can you just help me? I just want to hear you say, I'm better than that.
I'm better than that.
That was good. That was all right. Let's hear the Cowboys. I'm better than that.
I'm better than that.
I was okay. Let's hear it again. I'm better than that.
I'm better than that.
I'm better than that.
I'm better than that.
Here's what I'm telling you, young people. Let's give them all 5,000 points. All right. I'm better than that. When someone comes to you and says, hey, you want to smoke this? You know what your response ought to be? I'm better than that. Hey, you want to drink this? No, I don't want to drink that. I'm better than that. Hey, you want to shoot this up? No, I don't want to shoot that up. Who do you think I am? I'm not ordinary. I'm not common. I'm not filth. I'm a child of the king. I'm better than that.
Amen.
Your mom thinks you're better than that. Your dad thinks you're better than that. Your pastor thinks you're better than that. Your grandma thinks you're better than that. Why don't you decide and say, hey, I'm better than that. I want to be 10 times better. I don't care what the world's doing. When it comes to drugs and alcohol, listen, young people, you need to just make a decision right now. Alcohol will never touch my lips. Just say, I'm better than that. I'm never going to experiment with drugs. I'm better than that. You never have to go down that road. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:29, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contention, who hath babblings, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Just decide right now, I'm better than that. I don't have to look at it. You know what the Bible says? Proverbs 20 verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Alcohol will mock you. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Look, just because the whole world is deceived by alcohol tonight, you ought to decide, I'm better than that. I don't want to be ordinary. I don't want to be common. I don't want to, just because it's common for young people to be drunk, drinking in their teens, and it's common to be smoking marijuana in their teens, you ought to decide, you know what? I am better than that. And when you make the decision and you realize I'm better than that, I'm here to tell you something. You'll be found 10 times better. 10 times better. You say, well, why does it matter? What's the big deal? You know, the big deal is this, that the choices of today will be the chains of tomorrow. The choices you make, the reason that we make, look, we preach like this to everybody, but the reason that you think my parents, they're so strict, and my pastor, he's so strict, and my pastor's wife, you know, and they've got all these standards, and they're trying to protect me, and they're trying to keep me. You know, what we understand is this, not only from just observation and 13 years of ministry and experience, but research even shows this, that when young people engage in things that can become addictions in their teen years, they're way more likely to struggle with that for the rest of their lives. So the message is this, the choices of today will become the chains of tomorrow. And you might think, well, we're just kids and we're just having a good time and we're just drinking and we're just smoking and we're just popping that pill or doing this or doing that. It's just a good time. But it's not going to be a good time when you wake up 20 years later, 30 years later, and you're a drunkard. And you're a drug addict. And people say, oh, well, you know, I believe in so every drunkard started as a social drinker. You know what's best? It's just the purpose in your heart not to defile yourself. Just make the decision up front and say, I don't want to go down that road. Hey, I'm better than that. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. I think you ought to be 10 times better in your separation. I think you ought to be 10 times better with regards to drugs and alcohol. How about this one? You ought to be 10 times better in your music. 10 times better in your music. The Bible says in Psalm 40 and verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear it and shall trust in the Lord. Why don't you just decide, I'm going to be 10 times better. Look, anybody can turn on the radio and listen to the world's music. Anybody can turn on the radio and think, well, that's what I read. That's the cool stuff to listen to. That's the hip stuff to listen to. Why don't you decide, give me the songs of Zion. Give me the good old hymns. Give me the songs of God. Hey, I want to be better than that. You ought to make a decision. I want to be 10 times better in my separation. I want to be 10 times better in regards to drugs and alcohol. You ought to be 10 times better in your music. You ought to decide, look, I don't want the world trashy. You say, oh, I really like hip-hop. Talking a bunch of songs with a bunch of cuss words in them, talking about drugs and alcohol, why don't you just decide you're better than that? Why don't you decide you're above that? You're a child of God. You're a child of the King. Decide to be 10 times better. How about this one? 10 times better in your appearance. 10 times better in your appearance. We already saw it, Romans 12 and verse 10, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, why, young people and you young men, why do you feel the need and why do you feel like there's some value in trying to dress as worldly as possible? Why not just decide, I want to be 10 times better? And you know, I really don't get it today. Because at least when I was a kid, you know, people dressed worldly. But at least when people dress worldly, they still look like normal people. The funny thing is that today, I'm talking about young guys, today the dressing worldly is dressing like a queer. I mean, dressing worldly is looking like you're on the other side. I mean, just these tight little shorts. That's a cool fad today. Tight little shorts. Long flowing hair. Why would you want that? Why not just decide, hey, 10 times better. I want to be 10 times better. I don't want to be average, mediocre, common. I want to be exceptional. I want to honor God with my clothing. I want to be better than that. I'm better than that. Hey, you're better than that. You got to be 10 times better in your separation and drugs, in regards to drugs and alcohol and music and appearance. How about 10 times better in regards to tattoos? You ought to be 10 times better. Look, we're talking about your appearance. 10 times better. So many Christian young people today, they get to say, as soon as I turn 18, I'm going to go get these tattoos. Everyone else is doing it. Well, why are you trying to be mediocre? And look, I realize we live in a society today where everyone has tattoos. Let me let you in on a little secret. They're not cool. You know when tattoos are cool? When you're 18. You know when tattoos are cool? When you're 19, when you're 20, when you're in your 20s. But you know what happens around 30? Your brain matures and you realize, oh, maybe putting this thing on my face wasn't the most, you know, intelligent idea. Maybe putting all these marks all over my, and look, if you're here tonight and you got tattoos, I love you, I'm not against you, but I'm trying to help some of these young kids not make some stupid decisions. And you know, when you're 19 and 20 years old and you put that little fairy girls on the lower on your lower back, you might think it's cool, but when you're 50 years old and that little fairy looks like a bat, it's not that cool. It's not cool! And all your little tattoos, you know, you're 19 years old and you're all ripped. Let me tell you something. You're not going to be all ripped forever. You put that on that skin's going to stretch. And all of a sudden, that tribal warrior look you were looking for looks like you look like a Picasso painting. It's like there's all these wrinkles, and why not decide to be 10 times better? Why settle for mediocre? Why settle for average? Why settle for stupidity? Why settle? Why everybody else is doing it? Look, if everybody else is doing it, you ought to stop right there and ask yourself, that's probably not something I should be doing. You ought to get on the narrow path. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. I'm saying you ought to be. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just telling you, young kids. I'm talking to you, young people. You're better than that. 10 times better in your separation. 10 times better. You ought to be the person that says, "I've never tasted drugs. I've never tasted alcohol. I've never gone down that road." And God bless you if you have, and you're got saved, and you're getting recovery, and we're trying to help you. And God bless you if you've had a tattoo in your past. We're not mad at you, but I'm here to tell these young people they don't have to make the same mistakes that everyone else is making. You can decide right now. I want to be 10 times better. Amen. 10 times better in your separation. 10 times better in your music. 10 times better in your appearance. Some of these things have already been hit, but it's good to hit them again. Hey, 10 times better in your appearance. You young men, don't get into this fad of this long hair garbage. The Bible says, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? You say, well, everybody is doing it. So? It's the cool thing. So? Why don't you decide, I'm better than that. I want to honor God. The Bible says that man ought to have short hair. Doth not, look, I'm reading a verse to you. I'm not just telling you this is not my opinion. 1 Corinthians 11:14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. And you know, whenever I preach this, then guys, well, how long is long? Listen to me. If you can do that, it's long. If you got to ask the question, it's long. If you got to ask the question, is this too long? It's long. By the way, young ladies, if you got to ask the question, is this too short? It's short. Because if it's short on the man, you don't have to ask the question. And again, you do what you want. You do you. But look, I'm just saying, as a teenage boy, I would not want to be, you know, standing in line at a restaurant or standing in line at a Starbucks, good night, and have somebody standing behind me and thinking, huh, I wonder what the pronouns are there. I mean, long hair, tights, little shorts, little effeminate looking, and you think that is that a he, a she, is it a them? Look, I realize there's not much to look at here, but I hope when you look at Pastor Jimenez, it's clear what this is. Amen. I want people to look at me and say, hey, that's a man. Amen. I like that you look at my wife and it's real clear, that's a beautiful woman. Amen. And look, the world today, you know what the world is leading us towards? This transgender garbage, which is what Pastor Thompson was bringing up last night. He's like, well, you know, you're always preaching about women wearing pants, women wearing pants. You know, we used to preach against women wearing pants and people thought we were crazy. Now we're preaching against men wearing dresses and they're starting to think we're still crazy. I think they're all crazy. Why don't you just decide in your heart? Why don't you just decide, I'm better than that, 10 times better. Young man having long hair. Young ladies dressing immodestly. Proverbs 7 and verse 10 says, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. You know, the Bible says there's such a thing as the attire of a harlot. A harlot is a prostitute, a woman whose body is for sale. The Bible says, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. You know, that's the opposite of 1 Peter 3, 4, meek and a quiet spirit. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now on the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. You know, young ladies, why don't you just decide, you know, I'm better. I'm better than looking like a harlot. I have more respect for myself than that. I'm a daughter of the King. I'm a daughter of God. I'm going to dress modestly. I'm going to dress appropriately. And look, we're not telling you got to dress like a bag lady or something. You can dress modestly and dress very beautifully. But why not decide when it comes to my clothing, I want to be 10 times better. I don't want to do what the world does. So, but all the other girls, yeah, but why be average? Why be common? Why be ordinary? Do you really want your life? And this is the point that I'm trying to get to you. Teenagers get this idea and they say, well, I want to be just like the world. Okay, so your entire goal in life, my goal in life is be mediocre. Why not be superior? Why not be 10 times better? The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. We need that more today than we've ever needed that. And look, I'm not backing off on this. Why don't you decide, you young ladies, you young girls, why don't you decide I'm 10 times better? 10 times better regarding tattoos. Hey, how about 10 times better in your purity? 10 times better in your purity. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about flee fornication. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Fornication is a reference to the physical relationship that should happen within the bounds of marriage and should not happen before you are married. God says, flee fornication. And here's what's interesting that God says about fornication. He says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. God says, every sin that someone does, it's outside your body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. God has a little caveat here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6:18. He says, flee fornication. And he says, you need to understand this. There is something different about sexual sin than any other sin. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Say, well, what does that mean? Well, I think he's talking about disease. Teen pregnancy, things of that nature. But you know, the truth of the matter is this. I've been in the ministry now, my wife and I have been in the ministry now for 13 years. We started Verity Baptist Church in our living room 13 years ago. And as a result of being in ministry for 13 years, we've counseled a lot of people, and we've tried to help a lot of people, and we've been there for a lot of people. But you know, oftentimes when people meet with us and people need to talk to us and people need some sort of counseling and help, and in the instances where they bring stuff up about their childhoods, you know, when a 40-year-old needs to talk about something they did in their teens, when a 15-year-old needs to confess something that they did in their teens, when a 30-year-old is just has these regrets of things they did in their teens, you know that they inevitably, what they bring up is always sexual sin. Fornication. I mean, nobody comes to us when they're 40 years old saying, I got to talk to you, Pastor. You know, when I was 13 years old, my mom, she said I needed to eat my broccoli, and when she wasn't looking, I gave it to the dog, and I've just been so burdened about that. Nobody says that. Nobody comes to us when they're 50 years old and they're like, when I was 16 years old, I stole a bag of M&M's from the store. Now look, stealing bags from M&M's from the store, don't do that. But usually these are not heavy regrets and burdens. You know what people, what haunts people for the rest of their life is fornication. This is why God says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. And you know what? Every young person, every Christian young person ought to make the decision and say, I'm better than that. You ought to make the goal tonight and say, my goal in life is to get married one day, and when I walk down that aisle, I want to walk down pure. I want to walk down as a virgin. I'm not going to give that gift away to just anyone at any time. I'm going to keep that for the day that I'm married. You ought to say, I'm better than that. And if some boyfriend or some girlfriend tries to tempt you to do something you ought not do, you ought to just tell them, you know, I'm better than that. I don't want to do that. You ought to be 10 times better. I think Pastor Thompson brought up these verses, but they're good to you say, how do I stay pure? 1 Corinthians 7 verse 1, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Just don't even go there. You don't need to go there in your teens. You don't need to open that door when you're a young person. You ought to just decide, I want to be 10 times better. 10 times better in my separation. And 10 times better with regards to drugs and alcohol. And 10 times better in my music. And 10 times better in appearance. And 10 times better with regards to tattoos. And 10 times better in my purity. You ought to flee fornication. Do you know, young people, you ought to just make this decision as well. You ought to abstain from pornography. And obviously it's something that affects everyone, but pornography is something that predominantly affects young men. Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? But I say unto you, Jesus said, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And I'm just here to tell you, the choices of today will be the chains that haunt your future marriage. So just decide right now, I'm better than that. Don't open that door. Don't go down that road. If you got a mom and dad who say, we're not going to give you unfiltered access to the internet, we're not just going to let you have devices that you can go and get whatever you want from, we're not going to do that. You ought to, instead of being mad at mom and mad at dad, they're always trying to limit me. You ought to say, thank God that I have a mom and dad who think I'm better than that. Who are trying to protect my future marriage. You know, oftentimes what happens with young people is they get into these sins like pornography, these sins like alcohol, these sins like drugs, and they think, oh, it's just, I'm just young, it's no big deal. But then it's the chains that burden you and have you in bondage for the rest of your life. Why not just decide, I'm better than that? 10 times better in your purity. The choices you make will be the chains of tomorrow. Look at Daniel chapter 1 there. Look at verse number 8. I said number 1 tonight, what made them better was their purpose. Their purpose made them 10 times better. And look, you need to purpose in your heart. You need to purpose in your heart not to defile yourself with the king's meat. You need to make the decision right now, not in the heat of the moment, not at the moment of the temptation, not at the moment when somebody's asking you or tempting you or giving you an opportunity to do the wrong thing. You need to decide right now before the question even comes and decide, no, I'm not going to listen to that. No, I'm not going to drink that. No, I'm not going to smoke that. No, I'm not going to wear that. No, I'm not going to go there. No, I'm not going to be that type of person. Just purpose in your heart that you're better than that, and you'll be found 10 times better. They were 10 times better in their purpose. But I'd like you to notice also, not only do we see that they were 10 times better in their purpose, they were 10 times better in their personality. Look at the verse, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Now, I want you to notice, because this verse is really interesting to me. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Now here's the thing. This is the King James Bible. This is the Word of God. This is narrated by the Holy Spirit. So we know that everything that's being said here is true. Daniel purposed in his heart that he was not going to do this. But then the Bible tells us, last part of verse number 8, therefore, he demanded. Is that what it says? Therefore, the word therefore is connected to this thought. Because Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs. Notice, he didn't demand. Notice, he didn't roll his eyes. Notice, he didn't have a bad attitude. Notice, he wasn't rude about it. He made the decision, but then he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He already purposed in his heart, I'm not going to defile myself. But when he went to his authority, he went to his authority with respect. He went to his authority with a good attitude. I want you to notice that these young people, not only were they 10 times better in their purpose, but they were 10 times better in their personality. And look at the response in verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince. Daniel had a good personality and a good attitude, and therefore his authority responded well to him. You know, I think you young people ought to be 10 times better in your purpose, but let me say this, you ought to be 10 times better in your personality. You ought to just decide that you're going to be 10 times better in your attitude. Look at Daniel chapter 6. This is the only one place I'm going to have you turn. Daniel chapter 6 is right there in the book of Daniel. You're there in Daniel chapter 1. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel was, look at the words, preferred. He was preferred. Why? Because he was superior. Why? Because he was exceptional. Why? Because he was remarkable. Why? Because he was outstanding. Therefore, Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Why? Look at it. Don't miss it. I want you to see it. Because an excellent spirit was in him. They were 10 times better in their attitude. They were 10 times better in your attitude. Hey, young person, why don't you just decide right now? You know, I've been doing this thing with mom. I've been doing this thing with dad. I've been doing this rebellious thing. I've been doing this attitude thing. I've been doing this rude thing. I'm just going to knock that off. Here's the thing. Eventually, most people actually literally grow out of it. If you look around, you're going to find that you find 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds that have their moms and dads alive, and they get along with their parents very well. And they respect their parents, and they love their parents. Do you know how you can do that at 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18 and 19? Like, I'm not telling you your parents are perfect. I'm not telling your parents aren't sick. You might say, well, if you knew my parents, if I knew you, if I knew your parents, I know your parents. I know your parents are sinners. I know you're a sinner too. But I know that your attitude is a choice you make. Your attitude is a decision you make. And some of you kids need to just decide right now and say, you know what? All teens are just known for being rebellious. They're just known for being rude. They're just known for being mean. They're just known for rolling their eyes. They're just known for slamming the door. I'm better than that. It doesn't mean that you're not going to disagree with mom and dad from time to time. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be unhappy from time to time. But why don't you decide, I'm better than that? And you might find when you make the decision that you are better than that, that mom and dad start thinking, wow, I think our kid's 10 times better. Their attitude has really changed. You might find that they start being nicer to you. You might find that they start giving you a little more liberty and a little more freedom. Look, I'm not down on you. I'm trying to help you out here. I'm just telling you, why don't you decide to be 10 times better in your attitude? 10 times better in your rebellion. Look, I'm just saying, some of you need to go home and hug mom. Some of you need to go home and look at your dad in the eye and say, hey, dad, thank you. You don't have to take me all the way to Sacramento. Hey, mom, thank you. I know I've been giving you a lot of crap lately. I know I've been real rude to you lately. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for changing my diapers. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for investing in me. Thank you for being here for me. Why don't you change your attitude? 10 times better in your attitude. Hey, young people, you ought to be 10 times better in your language. You know, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Listen to me. Any fool can string off a bunch of cuss words. It doesn't require a lot of intellect to string along a bunch of cuss words. Why don't you decide, I'm better than a drunken sailor. I don't want my communication skills to be at the same level as a sailor. Why don't you read a book, learn some vocabulary, and get, look, you don't need to be using the F word and the S word and the B word and I don't know what other words there are there. You're better than that. Why not just, I don't need to talk like that. Everybody else talks like that. Everybody else is an idiot. You don't need to be mediocre. You don't need to be average. You don't need to be like everyone else. You can have excellence and superiority. You can learn and have vocabulary and actually communicate and actually speak like a normal person. You can do that. Amen. You don't have to be like every other bozo out there. You ought to decide, I'm going to be 10 times better. 10 times better in my attitude. 10 times better in my language. How about this one? 10 times better in your friendships. You know, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know, the reason some of you have a bad attitude with mom and dad is because you're hanging out with friends that have a bad attitude with mom and dad. You know, what's funny to me is that you get these teenagers who maybe, I don't know, actually have bad parents. And then they're like angry at their parents. But then they get around with their friends. And then the friends, they have good parents. But then these kids start acting like their parents are some drug addict or something. And it's just because your friend's acting like this. Hey, why don't you just decide, maybe I need some better friends. Why don't you decide I'm going to be 10 times better in my friendship? Maybe you need some better friends. It's been said before, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's been said before, your friends will determine the quality and direction of your life. It's been brought up because it's an important subject, especially for young people. But listen to me, it's been said over and over, but you will be the sum product of your friends. So why don't you decide, I need to get some better friends, maybe 10 times better friends. Or maybe what you need to decide is, I need to start being a better friend. Amen. I need to stop being the stinking kid who's always mouthing off, who's always having a bad attitude, who's always encouraging everyone else to do something wrong or be rebellious. Why don't you decide, I want to be 10 times better as a friend? Why don't you decide I'm better than that? I can be better than that. 10 times better in your attitude, 10 times better in your language, 10 times better in your preparation. Daniel chapter 1, look at verse 17. Why don't you notice one other area these young people were better. Their purpose made them 10 times better. Their personality made them 10 times better. Number 3, their preparation made them 10 times better. Notice what the Bible, what Nebuchadnezzar actually sees in them and what the Bible actually says. Daniel 1:17. As for these four children, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, God gave them knowledge and skills in all learning and wisdom. I want you to notice this. God gave them knowledge and skills in all learning and wisdom. What is that talking about? That's talking about their secular education. These young people were 10 times better in their preparation. And look, I'm just saying to you, you ought to decide you ought to be 10 times better in your education. Some of you kids need to go home and start taking your schoolwork seriously. You need to start doing your assignments. You need to actually start trying. You need to actually start paying attention. You need to try to get some good grades. Listen, right now is the time for your education. Now, the truth of the matter is this, that every productive adult makes a decision to be a lifelong learner. And we're all learning, and we all should be learning, and we all should be growing. But you know what often happens in adulthood is that people have to spend years and sometimes decades trying to catch up on everything they missed when they were a young person. And what adults are often saying, and I wish I would have just paid attention. I wish I would have just taken it seriously. I wish I would have just done well and done my best. I'm just telling you, you got to be 10 times better in your education. You gotta take your homework seriously and learn and take intellect serious and realize you have a great opportunity right now to learn and to grow and to develop skills. Don't be like everyone else. You say, well, everyone else is spending 40 hours a week playing video games. And they're idiots. Why not be 10 times better? Why not be 10 times better? Why not to decide, I'm better than that. I want to be 10 times better. You ought to be 10 times better in your education. Notice there, Daniel 1:17, and for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. That's secular education. But then notice last part of verse 17, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Not only were they good in their secular education, but they also excelled in their spiritual education. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Y'all decide, I want to be 10 times better, not only in my secular preparation, but how about your spiritual preparation? Don't tell me that teenagers can't live for God. You ever read the Bible? Pastor Thompson preached a great sermon about it last night. I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of young people in the Bible. Teenagers in the Bible that are serving God and fighting battles and making decisions and doing great things for God. Study, look at the life of Joseph. The Bible says Joseph was 17 years old. And twice in the life of Joseph, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. And if the Lord can be with a 17-year-old Joseph, the Lord can be with a 17-year-old you. You can walk with God. You can have a walk with God, and you ought to decide you're going to be 10 times better. Hey, how about being 10 times better in your Bible reading, 10 times better in your prayer time, 10 times better in your soul winning? You ought to decide. You say, I don't know if I can be a soul winner. If you're a teenager, it's time for you to be a soul winner. It's time for you to decide, hey, people are dying and going to hell. I've got the good news. I've got the gospel. I'm saved, and I want to go out and get somebody else saved. Hey, 10 times better in your soul winning and 10 times better in your serving. You ought to get involved in church, young people. It's interesting to me how when children are the least able to help because of their youngness, they're the most willing to help. And they're often trying to get, can I help with this and can I help with that? And adults are kind of like, well, you know, the thing is that if you help with that, it's going to be like twice as long. And obviously, as good parents, we always try to involve them. But here's what's interesting. When children are the least able to help, they're often the most willing to help. And then when teenagers are the most able to help, oftentimes they're the least willing. Why don't you change your attitude, young person? Why don't you decide, I want to be helpful. Be helpful at home. Be helpful at church. Get involved. You've got youth. You've got strength. You've got ability. You can get involved. You can do things. You can help around the church. Hey, I'm just saying, why not decide? Why not decide right now in your life? I don't want to be average. I don't want to be mediocre. I want to be 10 times better. Because your mom believes that. Your dad believes that. Your pastor believes that. Your pastor's wife believes that. Anyone that is trying to help you and love you and encourage you in the things of the Lord, they see potential in you and they understand that you can be one of these young people that is 10 times better. But oftentimes the battle that we have to fight with young people is not us telling you that you're 10 times better or you could be 10 times better, is you making the decision, yes, I want to be 10 times better. And you, young people, need to start seeing in yourselves what we see in you. That you're better than that. You're better than that. So why not decide, I want to be 10 times better. Look, I'm just telling you, you got to be 10 times better in your separation. You got to be 10 times better with regards to drugs and alcohol. When it comes to drugs and alcohol, you got to decide, I'm better than that. I don't want to go down that road. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I want to be 10 times better. Hey, 10 times better in your music, 10 times better in your appearance, 10 times better with regards to the tattoos, 10 times better in your purity, 10 times better in your attitude, 10 times better in your language, 10 times better in your friendship, 10 times better in your education, 10 times better in your Bible reading, 10 times better in your prayer time, 10 times better in your soul winning, 10 times better in your service. Why don't you decide, I don't want to be average. I don't want to be mediocre. I don't want to be ordinary. I don't want to be common. And why don't you decide to be what everyone around you sees you can be, and what most importantly, your Heavenly Father knows about you. That you can be superior and exceptional, remarkable, and outstanding. You could stand out amongst this generation, and the world can look out at you and say, I don't know what it is, but there's something about that young person. They're just 10 times better. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we thank you and we ask, Lord, that you would just help these young people to see in themselves what we all see in them and what God sees in them, what their Heavenly Father sees in them, that they're better than that. They can be 10 times better than that. And Lord, I